Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday's press release from American Right to Life is burning up the internet. And Steve Curtis, who's the president of American Right to Life Action, will be doing an interview on Monday, an hour-long interview on VCY America, crosstalk with host Ingrid Schluter, who said that it was one of the most exciting announcements in her years of following pro-life strategy and politics. And so that is very exciting, the success of American Right to Life. You should hear the comments coming in to their voicemail that I was able to hear earlier. But for example, one woman who is known as a pro-life medical research analyst, Eve Silver, she used to work with the Komen Foundation. She called American Right to Life, got the voicemail, and said, "I know there are people who won't realize this, but thank you, thank you, thank you for forcing Mitt Romney to withdraw from the presidential race, a pro-abortion candidate being presented as a pro-lifer by many leading pro-life organizations." Wow, that was exciting. To hear that was typical of many, and the encouragement is great, and a lot of it is thanks to those of you who listen to this program, who've been early supporters of American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life, and the excitement and the renewed vision for success that's emanating out of Denver, Colorado. So thank you all very much. This, of course, is our Telethon month, February, to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air, and we need your help. And if you could call 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, and either make a one-time pledge or a monthly pledge, that would be so very great. One time, $25, $50, $100. Maybe somebody could give $500 or $1,000 or even more. Or a monthly pledge, or subscribe to our monthly Bible study albums. So that's what we will need to help us continue to reach more people through this next year on the air on this 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. Now, some news, I got a call today from Georgia, and I was asked, what's with the second grade boy who wants to go to school in a dress? And yeah, this is just down the street from the BEL cabin, the Bob Enyart Live cabin. We're here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and this is in Highlands Ranch. And there is a second grade boy whose parents have decided that they're going to let him dress like a girl, and they want the teachers and students to address him with a different name, a girl's name. And this, of course, is part of the moral crisis that America is undergoing. And there is virtually no defense for these kinds of problems from our conservative leaders in politics. If you recall, back when George W. Bush was running for president, the Boy Scouts were under attack for not allowing homosexual scoutmasters, which, of course, is a nightmare. And George W. Bush, if you recall, did not lift a finger, did not say a word in defense of the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts in city after city have been under assault. And our kids, our three boys, go to a local pack, a Boy Scouts of America pack. And Boy Scout leaders have told us that the Boy Scout organization, if they're finally forced to accept homosexual scoutmasters, they'll shut the whole thing down nationwide. They'll shut the whole thing down. And that certainly could happen. Now, the Girl Scouts is run by lesbians. So, of course, you don't want your daughter to be a part of the Girl Scouts. You don't want that. So there's a crisis. And in this story, now, why is homosexuality wrong? And why is it wrong to be a transvestite, transgendered? Because God made them male and female. That's why it's wrong. And this story points out one minor detail that we have talked about over the years. This is not why it's wrong, but this is just evidence that something is messed up. What they have to do now in this school, according to the Douglas County Schools spokesperson, Wei Wong, W-H-E-I, this is the name. Is this a guy or a woman? This spokesperson, is it a guy or a woman? We don't know. Well, that's appropriate for this story. W-H-E-I is the first name, Wong, W-O-N-G, Douglas County School spokesperson, says they're going to have two new designations for restrooms in the school because the second grade boy who's going to now wear a dress and he wants the teachers and students to speak to him with using a girl's name, he's not going to get to go to the boys' bathroom because how would that work? A little girl in a dress in the boys' room. That doesn't work. And he's not going to be able to go to the girls' room because the parents of the girls know that if you took off the dress, he's a boy. So they don't want a boy leering at their daughters in the girls' room. So the school is designating two bathrooms as unisex. And this is just one example of the brokenness of blurring the gender distinctions. Because what do you do with homosexuality? Do you know why we have men's room and a ladies' room? It's not because every human being is a pervert. That's not why. We have a men's room and a ladies' room because it's inappropriate to be in a place, whether it's a locker room, a public shower in a locker room, a bathroom, where there are people attracted to one another sexually. That's inappropriate. And so with homosexuality, what do? You're at work, you're in an office building, you're in a public school, and there's a male teacher who's a homosexual. So which bathroom does the male teacher use? Does he go to the girls' bathroom? Of course not. Does he go to the boys' bathroom? I hope not. Does he go to the homo bathroom? Well, I sure hope not, because then you would have men meeting in the homosexual bathroom having sex during school hours, and that certainly, I mean, the Denver Health Department defended that kind of behavior some years ago for male employees of public restaurants in Denver. They said there's nothing wrong with them meeting in the restaurant's restroom and having sex. But what are you going to do? What restrooms will these people use? It doesn't work. Everyone then needs their own restroom. How do you have a health club? You ever go to a health club? You ever work out? You ever go in the hot tub, in the steam room? What are you going to do? How do you do that? When there are male and female, then we could have times that have, you get together socially and there's no sexual tension because it's all men or all women. But now you introduce a homo in a health club, and now what? He's looking at your 14-year-old boy? We got a report from Thornton that Wei Wong is a woman. Oh, and she used to report for 9 News. Okay. All right, very interesting. And now, thanks to Mark Crutcher, we have a reminder of how evil the OBGYNs in America are, most of them, the majority of them. The American College of OBGYNs, obstetricians, and gynecologists, they say they're pro-choice. just like Planned Parenthood says they're pro-choice, and for years they've given tens of millions of dollars to China for their forced abortion population control program. That's not pro-choice. If Planned Parenthood was pro-choice, they would be the most vociferous, public, outspoken organization condemning China for decades now. And they haven't been. They've helped fund it. So Planned Parenthood is not pro-choice. They're liars. And here's the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, and they say they're pro-choice, but they have a paper out from their Committee on Ethics about the limits of conscientious refusal in reproductive medicine. And they're saying this, that a doctor does not have the right, they believe, to refuse to provide an abortion. And Mark Crutcher is reminding us the reason these pro-choice people, they're insisting, they're saying a pro-life doctor will have no choice, but if required, and there's never a time where you're required to kill a baby, but they're saying if it's required, a pro-life doctor has no right to refuse conscientiously and must perform the abortion regardless of the doctor's personal moral objections. That's called pro-choice. Child killers are also liars. Child killers are also liars. Child killers are also liars. And the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists are not pro-choice. They are child killers, which means they are liars. And finally, before we get to an interview now, wow, we have one of my favorite creationists on the line. We have the Archbishop of Canterbury in England, who's really blown it. What an ignorant fool. This is the same guy. Last night, was it, on TV broadcast in England, he said that Sharia law for, you know, Islamic Sharia law, where women can't, you know, fill in the blank. They can't. What? In Saudi Arabia, they can't drive a car, and on and on and on. Well, he says maybe they should introduce Sharia law in England and for Muslims. And, you know, he was defending it. It might not be such a bad thing. So he's an ignorant fool, of course. He probably doesn't know what it is. He's the same archbishop who said just back in December that the nativity story was a myth. And that the Magi and all and the shepherds, and he specifically said the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a myth, and you don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. The problem with that is then Jesus Christ would have died for his own sins, not the sins of the world. If, in fact, he was born of a natural father and a natural mother, he would have inherited the flesh from Adam and sin, but Jesus Christ was the sinless Lamb of God. Okay, now we go to Pete Fisk. Pete, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Pete, it's been a few months since you and I have talked. Of course, you are friends. We have a mutual friend in Fred Williams.
Yes, and, we do.
Yes, and Fred does the Real Science Friday programs with me. And Lord willing, Fred will be on this show next week for another episode of Real Science Friday. But in the meantime, I thought today it'd be great to talk to you. And we could talk a bit about creation evolution. And I heard that you went after a very well-known communist at a when she was speaking at a college just recently. So those are the two things I'd like to talk about with you.
Okay. Where do you want to start, Bob?
Well, I'd like to start with some creation evolution. You were telling me about God's design of the eye recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how God designed the eye of creatures like human beings that live on land differently than animals that live in the sea.
Yeah, essentially, Bob, this is true. Basically, what we have, you know, if we believe that God is creator, and we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe that everything in nature can be shown to fit this framework. Whereas the atheistic evolutionist, the leftist, the communist, does not believe in a higher power. They believe that nature is all there is, that materialism, scientific materialism, is essentially what they believe, that nature can be explained in terms of naturalism, that is, the belief system that nature is responsible for itself. Well, that's patently absurd in its face, because how can nature create nature?
Well, that's true. A rock cannot create itself. A fire can't burn forever. And, Pete, they think that they can establish this by the laws of logic, but the laws the laws of logic are not material.
Exactly. The laws of logic are aesthetic or immaterial, essentially. They are created by humans to explain the world around us, and quite frankly, they're not it's a mechanism. It's a tool that the Creator has given us in order to understand the world He has given us. Because the Bible tells us that from the creation, from nature, we can see that God is. And quite frankly, as you were saying, Bob, the design of the eye is a perfect example of that. And as we were talking earlier, I just want, and Fred and I, we did an interview, if you remember, last May, when I was a guest of Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Yes.
On your show, and Fred and I actually discussed this very thing. The fact is, we know that the eye, the human eye, and the eyes of other creatures are intelligently designed. In other words, not product of billions of years of accidental mutations and haphazard forces of nature. We know this because of how our eyes work. For example, the vertebrate eye, which is the basic thought plan, as the late atheist biologist Stephen Jay Gould said, a term he coined. The bowel plan, or the blueprint of the eye, of the vertebrate eye, from fish to humans, is essentially the same. And one with someone with a superficial knowledge of biology and such might think that, well, yeah, maybe you can see a gradual evolution from a fish eye to a human eye. But that's not the case at all, Bob, because we know from the study of biology, from comparative anatomy and everything of different creatures, that each eye, even vertebrate eyes, which have a similar basic plan, are designed, that they're I don't want to use the word adapted, because that's the word evolutionists use, but they're designed for particular environments that they're in. For example, even though there may be a similar configuration in the components of a vertebrate eye, let's say a fish eye and a human eye, they're radically different. If you put a fish eye on a human, it wouldn't work. If you put a human eye on a fish, it wouldn't make the fish see, because each eye is specifically designed for each specific created thing. Mm. Having said that, now, we want to come to the basic design of the human eye. We have, in the human eye, we have a cornea, we have an iris, and then we have a gelatinous mass behind the eye that kind of, you know, buttresses the components of the eye. And then we have the retina that rings the back of the eye. Now, the evolutionists argue that the human eye, for example, is poorly designed. And the reason they make this argument is because the blood vessels that nourish the eye are actually in front of the retina. Now, the argument is that the photons of light that come in through the cornea and the iris and through the lens are obstructed by these blood vessels because the blood vessels tend to filter out the photons. But if we, you know, anyone that knows elementary physics knows that the photon is not just the elementary particle for light, but it's also the elementary particle for UV radiation.
For ultraviolet radiation?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The photon is the basic particle in physics that physicists have found out for all electromagnetic phenomena, including visible light,
right,
which is just a small part of the EM spectrum. And without getting too technical here, we know that blood vessels, blood, will tend to block the flow of photons. In other words, so many photons can't get into the eye. But there's a reason for this, Bob. Just enough photons get into the eye for us to see. The other photons that are excluded are the photons with the longer and shorter wavelengths than visible light, i.e. the gamma rays and the infrared rays.
So you're saying that the blood
emitted by the sun.
So Pete, you're saying that the blood vessels, being on what the evolutionists initially would think were on the wrong side of the retina, actually are filtering out those UV rays that could have damaged our eyesight.
Exactly.
Wow. And how about on fish? The fish, wouldn't they have the same?
Too, Bob. The fish are an interesting. Fish have a similar structure, but their components are completely different. For example, their light sensing, I believe it's the iris, and their lens is actually several times larger, and their retina is actually designed in such a way also that it can catch light in a different way. But the example that I want to use, in other words, the blood vessels in the fish are, you know, in a different place than in a human. Mm. But the real, I have not studied the fish eye in all of its intensity as I ought to have, but I have studied the cephalopod eye as a comparison with the human eye. The cephalopods, squid and octopus, which also live under the ocean, their blood vessels are actually behind the eye. And the reason the creator designed fish and cephalopod eyes to be different than human eyes is because fish, for example, live in a different, and cephalopods live in a different environment. They live underwater, and water has the same function as does the blood vessels. It tends to filter out so many photons, so much harmful radiation, that would otherwise damage the sensitive components of the retina and within the eye of the cephalopod or the fish, and this in turn protects the fish and cephalopod eye. Breaking it all down, our creator intelligently designed land creatures that is reptiles, birds, all mammals, including humans, with eyes that have these blood vessels in the front that filter out these excessive photons of gamma and UV radiation, but only let in enough photons which are of a certain wavelength that are visible, that constitute visible light.
Right.
In other words, the creator has designed our eyes with the blood vessels in front to filter out those harmful photons. Wow. Whereas in water, the cephalopod and fish eyes do not need the blood vessels in front of the retina because the water itself does that function. So Tommy God doesn't know what he's doing.
That is just so great, Pete.
What an excellent
description of God and his care when he designed not only human beings, but even plants and animals. And then,
exactly,
of course, the ecosystem we live in with the moon and the sun and the stable energy that the sun puts out, the most stable star that astronomers have found yet to date. So, okay, now, Pete, that's science, and that's what I enjoy having you on to talk about. But I also know that now and then you can be quite the activist, like we are here in Denver. And you live near the Gulf Coast, and I recall we had you on. We talked about when you went after Barnes & Noble for the perversion they were showing on the covers of books for kids to see, and you did a great job with that. Well, Angela Davis is a longtime, well-known hardcore communist. In fact, she's more to the left than even the American Communist Party. And she was speaking at a college recently, and you confronted her after the event. You went up. They refused to ask her the question you had put to her. And so tell us, what's the question you asked to her, and how did that go?
Okay, well, the question I wrote down on a little index card was, please justify the slaughter, the communist slaughter of 100 million people. And, Bob, this is a very, very important issue, I think, because we, and rightly so, we hear about the Nazi Holocaust and how many millions were killed under Hitler.
Right.
And that is a horrible thing. But what was even more horrible is the excessively larger number of people that were killed under world communism, i.e. the regimes of Mao Zedong, Kim Il-sung, the present dictator of North Korea's father, Ho Chi Minh and Stalin and Khrushchev after him. The total death toll, and then let's not forget the killing fields of Cambodia, the total death toll under world communism from 1917 till this very day, which with the North Korean and Cuban regimes, is a staggering 100 plus million. Nobody really knows how many people were killed. In fact, the largest mass murderer in world history is not Hitler, but it's Mao Zedong, followed by Joseph Stalin. Most college and high school students do not know this and are not taught this. Mm. And there's a fundamental reason for this, Bob. It's because most college professors are sympathetic towards communism.
Well, that's absolutely true. It's just as true today as it was in the 60s. that that we have learned nothing from history. So, Pete, so you wrote down that question, and they were taking written questions to Angela Davis. So did she address your question?
No, she tap danced around it and then did an end run around it. My question essentially, when the moderators refused to ask her the question, I simply made my voice heard and interrupted her presentation, and I asked her. Well, she had been talking about voting rights, something to do with people being disenfranchised and not being allowed
in America,
to vote.
Here in America, right? Say people.
Well, I asked her, what about the millions of North Koreans who get to vote?
Right. Yeah.
And I shouted this question twice to her before she took notice of me, and then she said, "Excuse me," and I said, "Yeah. What about the millions of people in North Korea? Do they get to vote?" And then I made it a point to ask her, "Well, what about the hundred plus million people, victims of communism, men, women, and children that have been slaughtered since 1917? Would you please address that?" Because she had made a comment concerning the quote-unquote violence of fascist/Christian/American imperialism against anti-communist, communistic socialist forces.
Right. Now, what school was this, Pete Fisk, that she was speaking at?
This was at the University of South Alabama in Mobile, a conservative college by and large, but some professors there seem to think that the radical 60s left-wing communist message needs to be regurgitated to a new generation of students.
Mm-hmm.
And what irritated me about this fact was that, for me, communism has a personal component. My mother was a refugee from communist East Germany. And to make a long story short, she was imprisoned once for trying to escape. And then she miraculously got out. That's a story in itself. We need to maybe cover one day on the air.
All right. Now, hey, Pete, we're about out of time. Do you have an email ID we could give out?
Yeah, you can to email me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can email me at westparkboy@yahoo.com.
Now, and people could get on your update email list.
This is true.
westparkboy@yahoo.com. You send out great informative emails, Pete, and we're out of time all of a sudden. But, hey, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on, and let's continue our science creation evolution discussions on a future show.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for confronting Angela Davis.
Thank you, Bob.
May God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Pete Fisk, F-I-S-K-E. Always enjoyable to talk to Pete and get an update. Now, my brother, Brian Enyart, he has moved to Colorado, and he and his wife, Jennifer, are involved with the pro-life ministry of Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yart Live, and my brother is a contractor for almost 30 years, and I've been on the job site with him. Now, I'm no good at that stuff. I just watch. But, I've been with him literally at, million-dollar homes, $5 million homes, but he does, of course, he does your neighborhood house, upgrades, doors, windows. He's just the best that I've ever come across. He's my brother, so I'm biased. But you can't blame me for that, can you? But he's really good. So if you're at all interested in doing some work on your house, I recommend that you call Brian Enyart. And we'll advertise him next week, his business phone number. You'll want to tune in.